I know it's... There we go. Finally. Coming to you live. Good to be with you today. Boy, I have no idea what that was about. I pushed buttons. Had to push them again. Push them again. Third time. Yeah. Anyway, good to be with you today. Since YouTube... You know, the funny thing is, I had mentioned, I had an offer from a friend of mine who does IT work. He started his own company, young man, and he had asked if I had been censored from any platforms. I said, no, not yet. I'm trying to play it cool. To me, the most important thing that I can say and talk about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without a doubt. Because if you die and go to hell, it doesn't matter what president you died and went to hell under. Doesn't matter. If you miss out on eternal life in heaven, it won't matter what government we're under in this country. There are Christians, Bible-believing, born-again Christians who live in socialist nations. Just thought I'd... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying let's just give up. What I'm saying is the most important thing that God has called me to do is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I am not willing to unnecessarily put that in jeopardy. Unnecessarily. Now, if it's necessary, if God tells me to say it and it's in His Word and I say it, and they don't like it, and they deplatform me or whatever, that's one thing. So I'm trying to be somewhat cautious in this day of censorship. Jesus told us to be wise as serpents. Now, I'm not 100% sure what that means. But I think that part of it would just seem to indicate, you know, think about what the devil could do to you and try to work around it. Try to evade him, avoid him. And so anyway, he offered his services. And I said, well, I'm not ready to use those yet because I haven't been kicked off anything. Haven't been kicked off Facebook. Haven't been kicked off YouTube, sermon audio, none of those, none of Twitter, nothing. Right now, they're more interested in COVID issues and the political issues, which I can and have spoken on those. I've spoken on several of those issues at various times and not been deplatformed. So I preached Friday night down in Pea Ridge, Arkansas, hurried back home Saturday so I could have time to edit the video and get it ready to be posted, and then work on sermons for Sunday. Got all of that accomplished. Uploaded the sermon to YouTube that I preached Friday night at Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Got a notification from YouTube saying they took it down. Because they said that it violated their community guidelines on statements that can and cannot be made about the COVID virus. Now, I know what I said, number one, because I was the one saying it at the time on Friday night. Number two, I know more of what I said than anybody because I had to listen to it again as I edited the video. You know, putting the slides in and, you know, there was a few little things I cut out that really I didn't feel like were necessary to the message. So I know more about what I said than anybody knows what I said. I know what was the intent of my heart. I know why I said what I said. And they said that I had made statements about COVID that violated their community guidelines. Now, they sent me a link to their to the rules of what you can and cannot say on YouTube about the COVID virus. And as I looked through those rules, I read them carefully. YouTube gave me a right to appeal, and they gave me like 800, I don't know if it's words or letters, and I used all 800 of them in my appeal. And I said, I have read your guidelines carefully, and it is my firm opinion that there was nothing that I said that violated your community guidelines on COVID. Nothing. And I said, if you would, and I did say this, if you actually watched the video, you would see that I was exposing what I felt were false statements about COVID and the vaccine. I was exposing them as untruths. So I told YouTube, I said, I challenge you to show me what I said, because it's an hour and 40 minutes long. Show me the sentence I said that you felt like you had to take the whole video down, because the whole video wasn't about the COVID virus or the COVID vaccine. It was about lies and people believing and spreading lies. And I said, I'd be willing to edit the video if you like, but I want that video put back up. And that was about my 800th, I guess it's 800 letters they give you. 800 words is a long thing. So anyway, I'm awaiting. You never, there's nobody to call at YouTube or Facebook. I don't know if you know that or not. You can't just pick up the phone and say, yeah, hello, Facebook. I'd like to talk to somebody in your censorship department. You can't. They don't give a phone number. And so I filled out the appeals form, waiting to hear back from them. But I know it was their AI that had captured some of the screen graphics that I put on the screen, along with me reading some of the thing. If you remember, let's go back to Mike Adams of Natural News and the ridiculous statements that he made, saying you are going to lose your salvation if you take a COVID vaccine. You're going to lose your salvation. Now, that guy knows absolutely nothing about the Bible and about the doctrine of grace. He knows nothing about it. But he's putting himself out there both as an expert in science and medicine and biology and virology and theology. And he lied through his teeth. And then, I still have it. And I think it's time. The email, this is from October 14th, 2020. The alleged leaked whistleblower information about Prime Minister Trudeau's plan for throwing everybody into concentration camps. And I read this to the audience Friday night. Now, if you want to watch the entire video, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Bethel. The whole thing's on there. Sermon Audio has not censored it. But I promised you I would do this. And I'm going to go ahead and do it now. We're nearing, this is January 26th. We're almost through January. And let me read to you what, see, so this person claimed that they were in a meeting as part of the Prime Minister's office. They were in a meeting, a strategic planning meeting, to roadmap how they were going to lock everybody up and how they were going to kill everybody's job and convert everybody over to a universal basic income. So the roadmap, this was supposed to be whistleblower, somebody who was in the meeting, writing the notes down, or at least memorizing them, and then telling everybody what was going to happen. Phase and this is what they submitted in October of 2020. Phase in secondary lockdown restrictions on a rolling basis, starting with major metropolitan areas first and expanding outward, expected November 2020. Didn't happen. Rush the acquisition of and construction of isolation facilities across every province and territory, December 2020. Didn't happen. Daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond capacity of testing, including increases in COVID-related deaths following the same growth curves expected by the end of November 2020. Didn't happen. Complete and total secondary lockdown, much stricter than the first and second rolling phase restrictions, expected by the end of December 2020, early January 2021. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. Fake news. Reform and expansion of the unemployment program to be transitioned into the universal basic income, expected by first quarter 2021. And I'm just going to take a guess and say it won't happen by March. That's first quarter. Won't happen. So I got called a shill. I'm on the Illuminati payroll. I've been called a secret Freemason, a FEMA pastor. I've been called worse things than that by people, because I dared to question their conspiracy theories. I dared to question them. And it didn't come to pass. And we know God's rules on false prophets. If they're wrong once, you don't listen to them. And that, you know, that could be a good rule to follow. You lie to me, I give you one chance to tell me the truth. You lie to me one time, that's it. Not going to listen anymore. So I went down to Peewage, Arkansas with, and I'm going to share with you a portion. Since YouTube took down the first video, this is plan B of it. I'm going to get it up there one way or the other. Let me put this on the screen. Why does it look weird? Hang on a second. I'm going to have to do some graphic manipulation here. No, I don't want to rotate it. I want to... That still doesn't look right. Let's see. I got to crop it. Let me show you what I'm doing here real quick. Yeah. It's cropped too much on the right. There we go. Now I'm going to do that. Ah, that's better. That looks better, doesn't it? There we go. All right. A picture of, now let me do that. There we go. A picture of guys excavating the bones of a giant skeleton. In fact, the skeleton is so large that practically the skull is almost as big as the person there digging the skull up. Now, I remember seeing a photo, it was either this one or one similar to it, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I got real excited, and I'm going, yes, finally, amen, wow, praise the Lord, there's proof. There's proof now. There's proof. The Bible's right. This photograph proves the Bible's right. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we need photographs to prove the Bible's right? No. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, Timothy, the disciple of Christ, he refused to believe that Christ was alive after he'd been crucified. He said, unless I can thrust my finger through the nails in his hands and put my hand into the wound in his side, I will not believe. When Jesus appeared to him, he said, Thomas, go ahead, put your finger through this hole. And Thomas immediately bowed before him and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Thomas, for seeing and believing, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So my point is this. Just because they find a piece of Noah's Ark, let's say they never find a piece of Noah's Ark. I still believe that it's up there. I believe every word that God said about the flood of Noah. I believe every word of it, and I don't need the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Hebrews 11 says that. Now, you will come upon evidence in life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You will find evidence throughout your lifetime of how right God's word is. And it'll just reaffirm what you've already believed. But when God came to me that day, speaking to my heart, saying, Mike, you know that Bible, that King James Bible is right in everything it says. I had no evidence, but I surrendered to it immediately. That's what faith is. And God is looking not for testers, but he's looking for people who will have faith in what he said. Now, as it turns out, not too long after I saw that photograph, I happened across a website that showed the original photograph. And at the time, I didn't really realize that people could do this. But it was Photoshopped. This is a fake photo. This is not real. These guys are not standing there digging up the bones of it. Now, does that mean I don't believe the Bible and there are no giants? No. There were giants in the land. I believe the Bible, and I don't need any other evidence. It's nice to have, but I don't need it. And when it comes to, you say, well, yeah, but we could use this to show, to convince other people. Listen, if they won't believe God's word, they're not worthy of salvation. And I believe that we're living in a time right now when what we were told makes, to me, it makes more sense now than it ever does. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Because I am telling you that the internet has become so violated with false, phony, fake, counterfeit information on the left, the right, the top, the bottom, the north, the south, the east, and west. It is so full of phony information that I'm honest. You know, I told you I quit watching the news on TV. I quit watching Fox. I used to wake up every morning, hit the TV while my mind woke up. I don't just pop out of bed. My wife does. I don't. I'd lay there for 15 minutes and wait for the weather to come on. At least the weather. I want to hear the weather. I don't even do that anymore. I'm waking up in the morning watching Leave It to Beaver. At least that's something I can kind of understand it, you know, that early in the morning. And now, right now, I have zero interest in going to any other news site. Drudge Report, WorldNet Daily, The Liberty Daily. I have Before It's News. What are some of the others? I have no interest in going. Absolutely no interest in going to read stories that I cannot confirm whether they're even half true or not. I have no interest in that whatsoever. My responsibility, when God called me to preach, He did not call me to be a news broadcaster. He called me to preach the gospel. He called me into a watchman ministry. And it is my responsibility, whether you listen or not, it is my responsibility to warn you and to sound the alarm when I see the sword coming. It is my responsibility to correct errors that are out there. It is my responsibility to impart to you truth without admixture of any error or fiction whatsoever. That's my job. Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. If all the Christians are lying by the advancement of fake news stories on the internet, then we are good for nothing. I get it. Some people like the lies. Some people do. Some people just thrive on lies and fairy tales and false conspiracies. Some people, that's their whole life. I don't understand the flat earth people. I cannot fathom where they come from. I cannot fathom how they think. I cannot. It boggles my mind. I cannot wrap my head around how flat earth people can put forth their ideas with no thought of being ridiculed whatsoever. I just can't fathom that. They are good for nothing because they make a bigger issue of the shape of the earth than they do the condition of a man's soul. You see my point? And is it possible that some of you out there have made certain issues going on, or certain issues that really aren't going on, you've made them of far greater importance than where a man spends eternity? And if we've done that, we are good for nothing. Absolutely good for nothing. but to be cast out. And we are right now being trodden under the foot of men. That's happening right now. How, you say, how so? With the censorship. Who are they censoring? Right-wing fundamentalist and right-wing fundamentalist Christians. That's who they're censoring. We're being trodden under the foot of men. I brought up this about the Beirut blast being an atomic bomb. It wasn't an atomic bomb. Trudeau's fake news. I brought that up. Remember the Hal Turner show from March 13, 2020, saying he had heard from three different people who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who worked in the federal government. And so it was 100% fact that there was going to be this total lockdown and everybody's going to have to stay in their house. And that was March of 2020. And that never happened. And you couldn't even get to the rest of the story without subscribing and paying money to Hal. Things the internet lied about. Y2K. The internet and people on the internet lied about Y2K. They made a huge deal out of it. People wrote books. People made videos. They said God told them. They made prophecies. God told them things. God said this. God. By the way, what happened to all the people on YouTube who prophesied Trump's second term? What happened to all them? They said God told them that Trump would win. He would be elected the president this year. They said God told him that. And it didn't happen. And the people who go to these people to listen to their lies, once their lies don't come to pass, what do? They go back to the same people to get some new lies. I cannot comprehend that. 2012 was supposed to be the end of the world. Why? Because that was in an X-Files episode. That was on the Mayan calendar. It didn't happen. Wasn't the end of the world. And you know what you have people saying now? Well, it was. It really was the end of the world. It was the end of an age. And now we've entered into a new... Now they're spinning it backwards to make it sound like they were really right the whole time. The Petrus Romanus thing, where a Catholic monk made a prophecy about the popes that would follow after his lifetime. And he wrote it in this sort of cryptic, symbolic language. And you really have to stretch and pull that taffy a long way in order to jam in the fulfillment of what St. Malachy prophesied. And supposedly Pope Francis is the last pope of the Catholic Church. And it's going to be a horrible time for the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is going to be under great persecution. Where is it? And I caught Tom Horn lying through his teeth, because he wrote a book about it. And he said God told him that Pope Benedict would retire and resign his office, and he gave a fake date to make it look like he prophesied it before it actually happened, but he didn't. He didn't. the flat earth people, the Mandela effect people. These are things that the internet put out that freaked everybody out, that had everybody convinced that this is the real truth here. And it was all a lie. And yet, people keep going back and believing this brand new lies. Whatever comes across your Facebook page, you like it, you share it, you don't even research, you don't even find out if it's true or not. Now, I don't know if I just know how to do it better than some people or not, but usually it can take me anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, depending, to find out if something is even close to being true. And don't ask me, and don't get angry with me when you send me something, a video or a blog to read or something like that, and I actually go through it and I say, this is garbage. Because when I see that somebody's making claims without any evidence, I don't believe them. I don't just automatically assume, well, they must be telling the truth. They're on a video. The Georgia Guidestones. I brought that up. So some guy put up these, we don't know who did it, spent a lot of money, and he hid his identity, and he writes these new Ten Commandments. One of them says that their goal is to maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And that's been up for what, 20 some odd years now? Something like that? 15, 20 years maybe? We still don't know who put them up. But it's got everybody convinced that the New World Order wants 6.5 billion people killed on this planet. And I can name for you some companies that don't want 6.5 billion people killed on this planet. Microsoft is one of them. Google's one of them. Because Google collects data on everybody and sells that data. And it just stands to reason, the more data that you have on more people, the more money you make. Apple, who sells phones, Samsung, who sells phones and tablets, they don't want less people on the earth. They want more people on the earth to sell products to. Walmart wants more people to buy products. The Chinese government actually wants more people. That's why they're trying to take over all these countries, you know, through the back door, because they want more people so they can take their money. So let's talk about this for a minute. How will people receive the mark of the beast? And I asked the congregation Friday night, and a lot of these people were pastor friends of mine, their wives, and some families that go to the church there at Pea Ridge and from other places, and they're Bible believers, every one of them. And so I asked them, how will people receive the mark of the beast? How let's examine how that's going to happen. Because the doomsday prophets on the internet, they have police forces, military, guys with guns, holding guns to people's heads, little children screaming. They have this as their model. This is how it's going to be done. They're going to force everybody. Force this. We're going to force this on you. You're going to take this. We have to do this to you. And this is how websites scare people. Military forces in the streets forcing everybody at gunpoint to receive a mark or to get a microchip or to get this or to get that. You better take it or else. We'll kill you. We'll kill all your family. We'll burn your house down. We'll do bad things to you if you don't take this mark. I don't think it's going to happen that way. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Some people believe that they're going to sneak it in. They're going to slip it in. They're going to put stuff in our food, and when we eat it, it's going to give us the mark of the beast secretly. Or they're spraying it in the air. They're spraying stuff that's going to get in our bodies and put the mark of the beast in us. Or it's in our medicines. Pharmaceutical companies are going to give us the mark of the beast. And I'll read you some verses here in a minute on why I don't think it's going to be that way either. The microchip. Now, I do believe still that humans will merge with technology. I do still believe that. But not with guns to our heads. And not secretly. Not the way you think, not the way certain people on the internet scare you into thinking that that's how it's going to be. So, let's examine Genesis 3, because I think this is the model for how the devil operates. Ask the question, did the devil ever force anybody in the Bible to do anything wrong? When Satan was trying to tempt Christ, and he said, they took him to a high pinnacle, and he said, Jesus, you know, why don't you jump here? Because your angels will catch you. Satan didn't get next to Jesus and try to push him off, did he? When he asked Jesus, Jesus, bow to me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms. What he didn't do was put a sword to Jesus' neck and say, bow to me or I'll slit your throat. He didn't do that. When he said, turn these stones to bread, he didn't take the bread and try to shove it down Jesus' throat. And with Eve, what did Satan do and what did he not do? The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. At no time, and this came to me here not too long ago, it just dawned on me that the devil never even said the words to Eve, why don't you eat that? Go ahead. Much less, he didn't wrap his serpent body around her neck and stranglehold her, and she's taking her last gasp of air, and she's about ready to die, and finally she says, okay, I'll eat it. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He did not command her to. He did not force her to. He did not rape her. He didn't harm her in any way. He didn't harm her nor threaten to harm her in any way. Never did. What he did do is the same thing that he's done to me and you. So let's say... let's say that the mark of the beast is somehow linked to you being hooked on pornography. Because, remember, the beast is the man of sin. The devil here in Genesis 3 awakened Eve to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. So, if there's 7.2 billion people on this planet, let's say that half of them roughly are men. So somewhere around 3.5 billion people in this world being men. Let's say 3 billion of them are hooked on porn somehow, some way. Magazines or their computers or what, whatever. Is that a way for the devil to get you to accept his invitation? Yep. Yep. Let's say that you're not really into that, but... you know, you drink or you take drugs. And the devil, I mean, look, he did promise Eve what the marijuana and the LSD people and the cocaine people and everybody else promised you. If you take this, you're going to take the ride of your life. Your eyes are really going to be open. So what if the mark of the beast has something to do with ingesting something that gives you the promise of an everlasting high? Would people take it? Would you have to force them to do it? You know, the marijuana dispensary that opened up here in Festus, they put a big ad in the paper, said that, you know, whatever day, maybe let's say this Saturday, on this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., you'll have an opportunity to fill out a little questionnaire and get a medical marijuana card. And they were lined up down the street. It was on Main Street in Festus. I mean, they were literally lined up down the sidewalk. People standing there in line filling out the paperwork. And it was stuff like, do you ever feel sad? Do you ever have back pain? Do you ever have this? Do you ever have that? And basically, it was basically an easy way, and you paid $100, and you got a legal right now to smoke all the marijuana you want. Did they have to force anybody to take these medical marijuana cards? Did they? No. Does anybody force people to sneak a peek at dirty pictures on the internet? No. Does anybody have to force anybody into any kind of sin? Usually not, because sin is very appealing. It's extremely appealing. And at least temporarily satisfying to the desires and the lust of the flesh. And I believe the mark of the beast is God's judgment upon everyone who loves sin more than they love God. So I don't buy it for a second that any version of the mark of the beast is going to be forcefully executed on mankind. I don't believe it. The websites who promote this idea are doing so to gain wealth. That's why they're doing it. They promote themselves as the alternative news choice. If you want to get the truth that CNN will not tell you, then you come here. And all the times that you go there, all the times that you click the link on Facebook or Twitter or Parler or anything else, all the times that you do that, that guy's going, let's see, where's my... I mean, the cash is rolling in. And the more sensational and the more outlandish, I call it tabloid Christianity, tabloid theology. Because that's what it is. At no time did the devil ever force, coerce, manipulate, because he did. But he did not even say the words, eat that fruit. He just lied to her about what it was, and she believed it. As will you. If you continue to believe lies. Because they're dangerous. They're very dangerous. Look at this verse for a minute. The next Watchman broadcast series that I'm working on now, and I may not have it ready this week to do part one of it because I'm going to spend a lot of time doing the research. It's about when in Matthew 24, where Jesus warned about many false Christs will come. If any man says, here is Christ or there, believe it not. So I'm going to do an in-depth thing on fake Jesus scenarios, fake Christ, fake messiahs, fake saviors throughout history, currently, and what could happen. Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, though we are an angel from heaven, bring you any other gospel, let it be accursed. So it sounds like to me that Paul knows that an angel is going to deliver a different gospel. An angel. This is a spiritual force, not a political force, not a military force, a spiritual one. And we've got it in our mind. We're going to go in the streets and we're going to fight back because we're not going to surrender to this beast system. But when the spirits come, you won't be able to resist them. If you don't have the protection of the Most High God, you will not be able to resist them. So I think Paul was saying an angel is coming from heaven to bring another gospel to this earth. And it's going to be irresistible for practically everybody living at that time. Completely irresistible. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord, the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Now think of what the communion is. We participate in a ceremony of drinking the fruit of the vine and eating a small portion of unleavened bread. Now does that work fill you with the Holy Spirit and bring you salvation? No, it doesn't. But what it symbolizes does, it symbolizes partaking of literally Jesus Christ, his covenant, his blood. In what form? The Word of God. That's the form that it takes. So now look at this verse and ask the question, do the devils have a similar cup? Yes. Do the devils have a similar table? Yes. The Jerusalem Council, I think, is key to this. Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 laid out four things. Imagine that number. Four things that the Gentiles were not supposed to do. Four things. Notice what it says. Let's see here. Where do we find it here? He said, this is James now. He said, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but we write unto them that they, number one, abstain from pollutions of idols. Number two, from fornication. Number three, from things strangled. In other words, cursed is anyone that hangeth from a tree. And number four, from blood. So they wrote it this way, that they didn't have to be circumcised. However, that they abstain from meats offered to idols, which is the Catholic Eucharist. And what do they say that Eucharist literally is? That they say these Latin words and change that bread into the living flesh piece of the body of Jesus Christ. You've just consumed a meat sacrificed in front of an idol, the crucifix. The blood, the wine that they give you, they teach that it, they have said the Latin words that magically convert the blood of grapes to the blood, to the literal blood of Christ. And we were told, don't drink that. That's the cup of devils. It's the meats offered to idols is the table of devils. From things strangled. Think of masonry, the first three degrees of the Blue Lodge. The Masonic candidate is led into a room. He's blindfolded. He's got a noose about his neck. He's the hanged man of the tarot cards. He represents Judas, who Jesus called the son of perdition. Cursed is any, the five kings that were hanged in Joshua chapter 10. Absalom, who was hanged from an oak tree, who had the hair of a woman and the face of a man. You understand what that means? And from fornication. Remember what I said earlier. Those of you who are so hooked on fornication indulgence that you cannot cease, sounds like to me you're going to get the mark through your sins, but not through force. Not through force. Remember that I talked about the neural implants, the neural net that Elon Musk is working on to literally plug your brain into the World Wide Web. It would be a way for you to literally both view and experience fornication in an electronic means right into your brain. Now, tell me how people would have to be forced into that. They won't be. This world is so given over to sin. It is so indulged in sin that all the devil, all the false prophet has to do is somehow, some way link the mark with the indulgence of their sin, and they'll jump right on it. Nobody will be forced to do it. Nobody. So I literally do think that at some point, people will voluntarily drink the cup of devils and eat from the table of devils. Now, I don't know what form that's going to come in. I don't know what that looks like. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. But we have, how did sin enter the world? By eating. The ingestion of a certain fruit that God said, don't eat from it. That's how sin entered into the world. And I believe that's how the mark is coming. I think we have the clues given to us in the Bible to know what to look for. And forced, mandatory, gunpoint threats are never, they were never going to be part of this. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And, oh, I won't eat that. That defiles my temple. Oh, I won't drink that. That defiles my temple. Pastor, you shouldn't be eating that. You shouldn't be taking that. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. That's defiling the temple. But that's not what our Savior said. Did we not hear him? Did we not hear him? So somehow, some way, years ago, I got in huge trouble from people on the internet because I ate a McDonald's cheeseburger during a Watchmen broadcast. And I was just trying to be funny because I almost said Hillary Obama. Michelle Obama made a big deal about eating fast food as a form of terrorism. It's destroying our country. So I was eating a McDonald's cheeseburger doing a Watchmen broadcast, and people came unglued on me. Like I am committing some big sin here by eating a McDonald's cheeseburger. Some huge defilement. But that's not what Jesus said. And he said, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth in, not into his heart, but into the belly and goes out into the draft. Means you're going to dump it out. And purges all meat. I have an excretory system to purge my body of things that I ate. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. So when you lied, did that defile you? When you told a lie, did that defile you? According to Jesus, it did. When you lusted after a woman and you actually put your hand on her, did that defile you? Yes. For within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Not what goes in, what comes out. Now, for those of you who are afraid that the heart medicine you take or the neuropathy medicine you take or the blood pressure medicine you take or the some of you even take medications to help even out your emotions. For those who are afraid to eat genetically modified foods, for those who are afraid of one thing or another that could be ingested, where the New World Order has secretly put in something that when you ingest it, it's going to give you the mark of the beast without your knowledge. For those of you who have been led to believe that, I'm going to show you two promises from your Savior. Do you trust Him? Or I'll ask it like this. Do you trust Him more than the internet? Do you trust your Savior more than you trust what's on the internet? You should. Because Jesus said, Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by what? What did he say there? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Our Savior said that. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Mark 16:17, a second witness. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, obviously, people have been beat up for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Obviously, some people have been murdered, killed for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, fear not the one who is able to kill the body. Fear the one who is able to kill both the body and the soul in hell. And that's what he means by this. You don't have to be in fear that the Illuminati New World Order is going to secretly implant things in the food you eat, in the sodas you drink, in the potato chips you munch on, in the medicines you take, or any such thing, and secretly slip into you the mechanism that brings forth the mark of the beast in your right hand or in your forehead. Jesus told you, don't let that worry you. I won't let that happen to you. And what's happened is too many people have been reading so much on the internet that it has practically destroyed their faith in God's word. Because it's like they don't believe God's word anymore. Even now, I can just almost guarantee you. I knew that when I preached this message Friday night, and that when I posted it on YouTube, I knew that some people were going to come out against me on it and leave comments. I never envisioned YouTube would take it down. But I just knew, because I was trampling on some people's pet theories. and using scripture to do it. And it proves my point that some people believe what they see on the internet so much it has destroyed their ability to know what God said. And they won't believe what God said. I don't care if you believe what I said. I care about if you believe what God said or not. And the lies on the internet, they will destroy your faith in God's word. They will. It's happening right now. And if you've not seen the video, if you did not hear the message, I apologized, and I am doing it again today for saying things over the 12 years that I've been doing this that I didn't know if it was really true or not. I've lied. I've been dishonest. I have been led to believe things that were not true. And I hate that. I hate that I did that. The first time I ever got invited to go to a church to preach a prophecy conference, my grandmother's pastor down in Little Rock, Arkansas, North Little Rock, Levy, Arkansas, asked me to come down and do a King James Bible conference for his church. And it was the first one I had ever done. And I remember where I was and what I prayed when I prayed it. I said, God, I am scared to death. I don't want to go down there and tell those people a bunch of lies. I don't. So God, if I do, please correct me. But just please don't let me do it. I don't want to lie. I don't want to make some big sensationalist thing just to get a higher YouTube rating. I don't. And if it costs me where people don't listen to me anymore, there's nothing I can do. I'm not responsible for who is watching me to begin with. I've not created the growth of this ministry. God has. I let God do that. So the first time I ever went out the doors of this church to go preach someplace else, to preach prophecy, King James Bible, I begged God, God, don't let me tell lies. I always wanted to be the good guy. The one that people could have a certain amount of confidence in. Not total trust, but a certain amount. I want to be known for the truth. God's truth, not man's. Let me get to Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets. And false prophets nowadays don't wear million-dollar suits and have their own private jets. But they do have large followings on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And then on Parler and BitChute, which is like a YouTube alternative. And you know, BitChute has opened up, and so a lot of the conspiracy type videos have gone over there. And I'll be honest with you, there's not very much on BitChute that I'm even interested in watching. Because some of it is just so wacky, out of line. It's on the same level as the Flat Earth videos. So somebody has volunteered to start putting my videos on BitChute, and I appreciate that, and I'm not opposed to that at all. Because I've always said, if you've got a dozen people over here on this side of the street telling lies, I want to be on the other side of the street on that corner giving the truth and then let people decide who they want to listen to. So I'm not opposed to being on any other platform to at least offer people an alternative to believe in. So the false prophets are not just the Kenneth Copelands of this world and the Joyce Meyers of this world. They are YouTube channels. They are Twitter accounts. They are Parler accounts. They are BitChute accounts. They are dark web accounts or whatever. That's the new false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing. They come dressed like us. We're Christian conservatives. We're conservatives. We're on the right wing. We're going to show you what CNN won't show you. See how they do it? They come appealing to your sense of wanting to know what's going on in the world. That's who they attract. That's who they're trying to draw with their message. And they do it in such a way as that they want you to do their promotion for them. They want you to share their video with emails. They want you to share their videos on your Facebook page. They want you to share their videos on Twitter. They want you to share your videos or wherever they do it. They want you to help spread their words for them because they get more revenue. They get more ad revenue, more money out of this. And you're doing it for them. So beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What is their real agenda in doing what they're doing? The love of money is the root of all evil. They're devourers. So he said, ye shall know them by their fruits. So if an orange tree says in early spring, I'm an apple tree, and you believe it all summer long until you see oranges. Well, that's not an apple tree. That's an orange tree. You know them by their fruits. And if they keep saying something, that something's going to happen, what did I do with it? Did I throw it away? Justin Trudeau's strategic planning committee. If they say this stuff and it doesn't happen, that's fruit. It's corrupt fruit. And you know them by their fruits. So, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Is it my job? Let me ask you. Is it my job? What is it more important for me to talk to you about fluoride in the water, chemtrails, 5G towers, electric meters, and all of these other things, but you die and go to hell? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I supposed to be telling you and warning you about all of these things that are all over the internet, and then let you die and go to hell? I'm telling you, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. What I'm supposed to be doing is to fill you with the Word of God unto your salvation and unto your growing, your nurturing, so that you also can bear much fruit. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And people, it matters to me where I go in eternity. It matters to me. And it should matter to you, too. It should matter how you get there. And you don't get to heaven just by believing conspiracy theories. You get to heaven by trusting what God said and leaning not unto your own understanding. That's how you get there. By trusting his word. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. One of the best verses in the Bible. Be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. It will. And it already has in many cases. It's corrupted churches, it's corrupted ministries, it's corrupted the truth. Again, the waters of the internet, let me show you something, since I'm mentioning this phrase, the waters. Look at what Ezekiel said about Pharaoh. And I think Pharaoh here is a type of the Antichrist. Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest their rivers. In other words, you stirred up so much sludge on the bottom of the rivers that you muddied the water. You know what he's talking about, don't you? You got a nice, clear stream, but you get to churning up the mud on the bottom of it, and it's just a muddy river. And what's happened is, in the age of social media, there has been so much disinformation produced, distributed, promoted, believed, that it's extremely difficult in some cases to determine whether or not something really is true or not. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar suspected that his counselors were lying through their teeth to him. And he said, there's but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. And what would happen if they didn't tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream? What was Nebuchadnezzar going to do with them? He's going to cut their heads off. I will have you killed. Because then I'll know that you've been lying to me this whole time. And Nebuchadnezzar refused to believe any more lies. I'm done. I'm not believing any more lies. I've had it. You either tell me the truth or I'm going to have you all killed. And he meant it. Proverbs 25, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. And you think about that. They're right-wing YouTubers, bloggers that say God and Jesus every now and then and talk about the Bible, but they're not Christian. They're not saved. And you falling down before them, you become a corrupt spring. You know why? Because you're now telling everybody what they said. You're telling everybody what they said. Oh, this, I watch these people. Boy, they're good. Boy, they really give it out. And they give you the truth. But they're lying. Psalm 73:8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Jeremiah 6, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption. Corruption. Corrupting the truth. You cannot inherit incorruption. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but have sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul said, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have not corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Let me ask you a question. Now, I know as citizens of the United States, we have rights. We have a right to speak out against our form of government. We have a right to speak out against politicians and the things they do. We have those rights. And I believe in those rights. Trying to keep our politicians honest and accountable. Seems now we're fighting a losing battle, right? But let me ask you a question, though. The second most prominent person in the New Testament, the first prominent person in the New Testament is Jesus Christ, obviously. The second most prominent person in the New Testament was the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to ask you a question. Can you take your finger and point to any verse anywhere where Paul spoke out against Caesar? And Caesar thought he was God. You talk about a corrupt politician. That's corrupt. He thought he was God. He had dictatorial powers. Did the Apostle Paul, or pick another one, Peter, James, John, did any of them ever speak out against either the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was the elder rulers of Israel, or the Roman government? In fact, Paul used Roman law to keep the Jews from killing him. The Jews wanted Paul arrested. They arrested him. The Jews said, we got to kill him. And Paul said to the Roman soldiers that arrested him, are you going to kill a Roman citizen without a trial? And if you remember the Roman soldier, he said, with great sum did I buy my citizenship. How did you get yours? Paul said, I was born a Roman citizen. I'm a free man. I have rights. And I'm throwing this in because you cannot count on me for Christian anarchy. I won't be involved in it. I won't. The prophets of the Old Testament had an obligation to tell the king what he was doing wrong. But they also were willing to face the consequences for that. And many of them did. They lost their lives. You go read it. You go check it out. They had a responsibility to tell the king, this is thus saith the Lord. When Jeremiah had the prophecies written to King Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim took it and cut him up. After he read 3 or 4, cut it up and threw it in the fire. Jeremiah said, okay. Well, he shouldn't have done that. And he wrote it down again and added more to it. He did have an obligation, but Jeremiah spent time in prison. Daniel was part of the captivity. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for serving God. Did he have a responsibility to stand up for Jesus? Yes. But he was willing to face the consequences of it. And my point is this. Well, I don't know if I want to get into that today. That's not part of what I wanted to say today. But we have an obligation, people, to share the truth with this world. And we're not doing it. We're not. Paul said in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's your responsibility. 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Just because a guy gets a big following or a gal gets a big following doesn't mean they're right. 2 Timothy 3:8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They have no idea what Christianity is really all about. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, carried about with every conspiracy theory. Y2K, 2012. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But ye are forgers of lies, ye are all physicians of no value. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Look at that verse again. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, God said. And he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. These six things doth the Lord hate. You may say, yeah, sodomy, and yeah, people living together, and corrupt politicians, evil doctors, evil pharmaceutical companies. They're all, God hates them all. But look at this list. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. The Lord hates a false witness. Now, am I reading that wrong? Am I reading that wrong? The Lord hates a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm reading that right. And then he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates he that soweth discord among brethren. You see, I want God's people who we all believe the same Bible. I want us to all get along. But we don't, and in some cases we can't. And I don't know the remedy for it. Because some people just like to sow discord to get all of the God's real people mad at one another. Let me ask you this. You ever heard of the phrase agent provocateur? You know what that means? Let's say that the CIA wants to have a regime change in some Central American country. So, but they don't want it known that the CIA did it. So they'll send agents down. They'll send guys that will go down and stir up the left wing, and then they'll send guys that will go down and stir up the right wing, and they'll get them to fight one another and kill one another. And in that chaos and melee and bloodshed and instability, they will set up a puppet regime. Happens all the time. Because they were able to sow discord among brethren. They were able to get the brethren to fighting one another. And this is this not what it's come to in this country? Has not the enemies of America sowed up so much discord in this country that we literally hate anybody who doesn't believe all the things that we believe about 9/11 and this and that and the other? We end up hating them. And it's a shame that all of us who still believe in the old King James Bible, we can't even hardly get along nowadays. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. How many times did the Bible tell you not to be deceived? Be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many? Many. Many false prophets shall arise, deceive many. Jesus answered and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Luke 21, take heed that you be not deceived. Watch out for what you believe. What you really believe to be true. What you really believe to be right. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove it. Let a man deceive himself. If any man, and that's, we can do that, can't we? Deceive ourselves. And it seems like the most foolish thing in the world to do. We invented the lie. We know it was a lie. But then we end up believing our own lie. It happens. Let a man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. God is not. Listen to this one. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that you can spread internet lies and God won't punish you? Do you think that? Because you're sowing. You're sowing. You're sowing seeds. By sharing, liking, spreading, sending out, passing around, liking, commenting, you're sowing seeds of ideas to people that you don't really know if they're really true or not. You don't know. So do you think that that goes unnoticed by God? The answer is no. And if you sow falsehood, what will you reap? Falsehood. In some form. Maybe God will just turn you over and let you believe lies. Or maybe God will raise up people to lie about you. I mentioned this Friday night. It's in video. Some people sent me a video to watch. It was about this lady said that they're already secretly vaccinating millions of people with this COVID death vaccine, that they're already secretly vaccinating people. And another woman said, well, how are they doing it? She said, with the testing. The swab that they put up your nose, that contains a secret vaccine in it. And when they put it up there, they're not testing you for COVID. They're secretly vaccinating you against your will. Now, your neighbor, somebody in your family or the lady that lives down the street that knows you, she's been putting in 12-hour days at testing sites to help people deal with this COVID thing. And she's testing people. You're accusing her of violating people's rights you're accusing her of secretly vaccinating people. You are bearing false witness against thy neighbor. Is what you're doing. And every time you get around people, you start talking about these conspiracy theories, you start talking about this, and you start talking about that, and you walk in the room, people start rolling their eyes immediately. They don't believe a word you say. And then you wonder why. When you try to talk to them about Jesus Christ, they don't believe you. They don't believe a word you say. So do you think that you can continue to sow falsehood and not reap anything from it? Do you think God will allow you to get by with that? No. Ephesians 4:14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Boy, that's strong words there. So whoever deceived you with vain words, God is going to throw down his wrath upon them. So whoever lied to you, God's going to catch them in their lies. But also, whoever then you passed on that lie to, would not God do the same? 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notice what it says. She let herself believe a lie, and it brought about her sin. You see what I'm getting at now with this mark of the beast thing? Is it going to be done at gunpoint? Is it going to be forced on everybody? Is it going to be secretly hidden in something so that you'll end up receiving it without knowing it? Or is it just going to be the result of how you lived your life and conducted yourself and your character in front of people? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The liars are going to increase the lies. They're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. For they're unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, Paul said. James said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And I've done that. I've deceived myself before. Why do you think I'm preaching this to you? I've done it. I lied. I said things that weren't true. I believed things that turned out weren't true. And the embarrassment, the shame, the reproach that goes with that. I don't like bearing that. So for me, it's easier and better that I admit being wrong to prove the point that I've been trying to make for years anyway, is that I am going to be wrong. And anybody who puts me on a pedestal of any kind, I'm telling you, God is going to let me be wrong again to show you that I'm not who you think I am. Unless, of course, you think I'm an idiot, then, yeah, you're right. Let God be true and every man a liar. People, we don't have time to chase every wild rabbit. We don't have time to let the sails loose and let the wind blow us wherever it wants us to go. We don't have time for that. Let's rededicate ourselves to knowing the Word of God, knowing it, practicing it, believing it, meditating on it, serving it, sharing it, spreading it, glorifying it with our lives. Being doers of it and not just hearers of it. Let's do that. I think that we can still clean up our little portion of the internet. I don't think it's too late. But folks, we have got to get back to the truth of God's word and not, how do I describe the internet? Gray paint. It's easy to make gray paint. What do? Add black paint to white paint. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. So the internet to me is gray paint. Because while it does have some truth on it, it's full of lies. And if my wife said, I want the house painted white, and I painted it gray, guess what I'm going to have to do? Paint it again. I think we can. I think we can still redeem ourselves. I think we can start spreading the truth of the Word of God. Living it, believing it, refusing. Absolutely refusing to believe anything but the Word of God. And put a big dent. I know that the Bible's already prophesied that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I know that there's no escaping that. That's actually part of God's plan. So I get it. Remember what Babylon is. She's a golden cup in the Lord's hands. So here God says. So I'll point to you for a minute. I'll point to you. And I'll say, God looks at your life and he says, they spend more time in the field of lies than they do on the vine of Christ, learning from the truth. So what I'll do is I'll just pour me up a big cup of Babylon, tip it up to them, cause them to drink it so that all they believe is lies. I believe God does that. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hands. Why? To cause people to believe things that are not true simply because they don't love truth. They'd rather love lies. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to share the truth. They don't love the truth. They don't want anything to do with it. And I think God is going to get them for it. And I have been gotten by God before. And it's a scary ordeal. It is scary, I'm telling you. And it will cause you to wake up and pay attention to God. It'll cause you to do it. So, wake up. So, other than sharing Mike Adams' big tirade about COVID vaccines being the mark of the beast, this is basically the YouTube video that they pulled. Why? I don't know. We'll see. Pray for me. If you don't see a Watchman coming out this weekend, I'm still working on it. I am going to do some deep, heavy research into false Christs throughout history, those that may show up currently, what form they come in, what form they will come in. So I'll be working on that this week. So pray for me, pray for our ministry. We're going to do feeding on Wednesday, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. So God bless you all that's helped us out with that. May the Lord continue to bless you. We'll see you. Think Bible.